Good morning once again. Greetings from Faith, if I can do that now. They send their blessings and prayers as Covenant continues to search for their new shepherd for the next chapter of your church. And so we give our blessings and prayers for you. I just wanted to express that here this morning. Before we open our word to Ephesians, would you pray with me? Father God, as was just spoken, we know that we can come into your presence with 1,000 different emotions. But Lord, as we do so, may we enter with one truth, that you are Lord and that your love is great. So in that, Lord, as we bow our hearts before you, grant us ears to hear and minds to understand your message this morning. Grant myself the articulation to express your truth, and grant us all open hearts that we might see you more clearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to open your scriptures to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. One of the things that I've been wrestling with lately that drew me to Ephesians was I've been in a couple conversations with people that have either come to my office or that I've met on the street, and we would often talk about Easter, and we talk about the power of Easter and how Jesus saves us for heaven someday. And how Jesus restores us and redeems us into that life to come. And it's that hope that we have in this glorious reunion in the sky that grants them hope, that grants them peace. But often in those conversations, what they fail to acknowledge, and what's hard, I think, for us to understand, and what led me to Ephesians, is the fact that Easter has ramifications for us today yet. Before we pass on to glory, before we die, before we have this big reunion, we are called to stand firm now. And so in my wrestlings, that led me to Ephesians 6, and so I invite you to listen with me and read with me, starting at verse 10. Finally, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To stand. Did you hear that word come out over and over again as we started reading our text? Stand, stand firm. What does that mean? What does it mean to stand firm in today's day and age before we reach glory? I think, you know, as a youth pastor, my mind goes in a variety of different ways, but one of the things when I think of the obstacles to standing firm is this idea of all the different arrows that can be shot our way, all the different tensions, all the different struggles that we can have. And I envision this life being a lot like that activity that used to be popular nowadays, back in the day, I should say, where you put this bat on the ground and you spin around about 20 different times and then you run across the gym and you try and stand, but it's difficult to do. That feels a lot like life sometimes, does it not? We want to stand, but we're not sure what it means. And so when we look at Scripture this morning and what it means to stand, it can leave us with many questions. As we think about this whole armor of God, from a helmet to a breastplate to a shield to a belt, what does this mean for us? And I'm not going to go through every piece of this armor. But I think the first two verses are important for us as we consider what it means to stand. What it means to put on this armor. Because I think the power of the resurrection comes out as we put on this armor piece by piece. Our ability to stand, our ability to be strong, so to speak, is how we view the resurrection. Not only the power to come, but the power that we are given now. See, the resurrection calls, the resurrection empowers, and the resurrection inspires us to stand firm even today. First, the resurrection calls. Look at that very first line. Finally, be strong in who? Be strong in the Lord. Does that mean being strong in ourselves? Does that mean be strong in what we know to be right and what we know to be true, which can be influenced by feelings and emotions? But it's more than that. To be strong is this identity that we have. We are the risen ones. We are the ones that are empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. We are in the Lord. Do we understand and do we take time to reflect what that means? To be in the Lord means, in short, that you are embraced by a loving God no matter the situation that you are in. To be in the Lord means that Jesus Christ not only lives in you, but because He lives in you, you died with Him on the cross. Because He lives in you, you rose again 3 days later. That power, that influence, that presence is inside of us. That's in a sense what it means to be in the Lord. It's that resurrected identity that we have. So in a sense, when Paul is starting off this putting on armor, he's starting off by asking us, pleading with us to remember in Christ, remember who we are. We're beloved. We're embraced by our God and Creator. And Paul just doesn't use this language here in Ephesians 6. He's building up to it. That's why the word finally is there. He's been building up to this power and identity language throughout the entire book. If we read earlier, we are called to be built up. We are called to be the redemption. We are called to be the inheritance. We are called to hear truth. These are our identity statements that we have as we are embraced. As we are embraced by the one who loves us. So this morning, as we remember the power of the resurrection and what it is calling us to do, may we remember that we are called not only to do, but more importantly, the doing will come after we know who we are. We are the beloved. In Christ, we are not only crucified, but we are risen with Him, and we are in His presence. Now, most of us don't always feel that way. We know this, we've heard these words before, but then we look into our souls, and why do we confess our sins every Sunday? Because we don't always feel that way. We recognize the tension of our own struggles, of the own sin that's inside of us. And sometimes we get embarrassed to call ourselves beloved, because when we experience loss, when we experience death, we look inside ourselves, and yes, we find hope that someday we'll be there, but we also find struggle. We find doubt. We question whether or not this is the love of God in our lives. Sometimes we're even embarrassed to call ourselves Christians because we understand the harm that we can do. Brian Chappell, a seminary prof in St. Louis, says this in his book, Holiness by Grace. Because we are in Him, because we are embraced by the Holy One who reigns over us, we should not fear the bruises to our ego. When we doubt, when we fear, when we recognize our own power, in a sense, to create harm, we shouldn't be afraid of these things necessarily, because our God is greater than that. To be in Christ, those negatives were crucified on the cross. And we are alive again. To be in Christ is this idea of this intimate connection, this intimate bond that we have with our Lord and Savior. And I think of it this way. If I can use this as an example. My family loves to play board games. And one of the games that we've been playing lately is this game called Ticket to Ride. Maybe you're familiar with it. It's a game where you have to try and get trains from New York to L.A. and all the plethora of cities in between. Well, my six-year-old daughter thought she could play this game, and so we allowed her to try. She sat there playing by herself, and as we're going throughout the game, she began to get incredibly frustrated because people were stealing her places, her routes, and she didn't know how to handle it. In her concrete mind, she was sitting here thinking, that was my way to get there. Now it's gone. What do I do? And she was overwhelmed. It was at that point my aunt came in, took her, placed her on her lap, and they ended up playing the rest of the game together, with my aunt showing her different ways to go, a new perspective on life. In a sense, being called, being in the Lord is exactly that. We are embraced. We are so bonded with our God that in a sense, it's deeper than sitting on His lap. But He is still showing us the new perspective of what our minds can't comprehend. We are called to be in Christ. It's an identity. It's a truth. And it empowers us to stand, even when we feel weak. And that's the second thing, right? We are empowered by the power of the resurrection. When we think about what it means to be in Christ, that second line there, it says, not only be strong in the Lord, but in His mighty power, or in His mighty strength. We are actually invigorated, infused with the power of God. And if you look throughout the book of Ephesians this afternoon, you will see phrases that say, the fullness of God dwelling in you, or the greatness of God that has been brought into you. Ephesians 1, verse 19, Paul starts off his book, his letter, so to speak, to this church in Ephesians, and he connects this idea of the power that we have with the power of the resurrection. If you start at verse 18, it says this, Paul saying, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for all who believe. That power is the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when they raised Him from the dead. The power that raised Christ from the dead is that same power that God gives us because of the resurrection, because of what He pulls us and draws Him to Himself. And so when we think about the armor, when we think about what it means to stand firm, part of that power, part of that infusion of being in the Lord is understanding that we're not alone in this. And that power of Christ to arise is that same within us. If you go throughout the book of Ephesians, you will find that Paul highlights this power in a variety of different ways. He talks about being dead and now alive. He talks about being under the dominion of Satan, and then now we are seated in the heavenly realms. He talks about being objects of wrath, and then yet he says, now you are his glorious inheritance. He says you were separate, but now you were brought near. You were foreigners, but now you're citizens. You were aliens, and now you're family. Can you put that together? Just sit and reflect on that for a moment. Separated, brought near, under wrath, riches, foreigners, citizens, aliens, distant, family. The power of the resurrection that we have right now is to view ourselves in that way. To know that we are so loved that God, even though we need to confess the wrong inside of us, calls us family. That we are fundamentally different creatures because of the power of the resurrection. It's an amazing thought. Should inspire us. You see, putting on the armor of God, it doesn't do us much good unless we hold on to that truth of who we are. Putting on the armor of God doesn't do us much good if we're putting on the breastplate of self-righteousness. Putting on the armor of God doesn't do us much good if we're holding the shield of self-defense. We need to understand that the power that we have is because of the God who is with us. And where does our faith lie? In where our knowledge, in our emotions, or does it lie in the identity and love of our God and Savior who walks with us, not only in life and in the joys of springtime, but the God who walks with us and sometimes even holds us when we can't see Him or feel Him ourselves. This idea of faith in who our God is and that identity is where the power of that armor comes from. It's amazing how quickly we can get frustrated within ourselves. It's amazing how quickly we can get angry at the things of this world. My daughter is a very... I have four daughters. My oldest is a very, very smart girl. She made the honor roll. That's great. I'm not bragging her, but that comes into play in a little bit. I remember her coming home on countless times because she's not good at math. And she comes home, and I remember one time she's sitting here looking at this, and you get the blank eyes looking at the page, and she's like, Dad, I'm dumb. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And she's looking at this, and she's trying to figure out what's going on because the concepts were not clicking, and what she needed at that time was that inspiration of reminding herself of who she was. Sometimes we need to do that sternly for ourselves too, right? Yeah, I just got angry with my spouse. God, remind me of who I am. Yes, I just got a speeding ticket again for thinking my life was so important and doing it wrong. And God, remind me of who I am again. God, I went on the wrong computer site again. God, I cheated my business out of some money again. God, I didn't fill in the blank of your own life. We need to be reminded sometimes sternly of who we are. That we are ingrained with the fullness of our God. And that fullness empowers us to stand firm. A lot of times we think that it's willpower that takes to stand, right? That if I just set my mind and heart on these things, that I can conquer that. How often has willpower failed you? It's failed me. But when you begin to put yourself in this identity of being in Christ, and as you start to slowly put on the armor of, yes, I will put on the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation, and the truth being that God's fullness lives in me. Then we begin to have to tell ourselves that computer site is beneath the dignity of who I'm called to be. Yeah, yes, speeding and thinking that my time and my built-up impatience, I got to remember that that's not who God created me to be. There's a dignity of God that lives inside of me. The fullness of God lives inside of me. But brothers and sisters, this idea to stand firm, that we are to stand now or withstand the arrows of the enemy that may target us, is this idea of being intimately connected to our God that we are reminded of in prayer. Because when we pray, we are acknowledging that we need help. When we pray, we put our pride aside when we are asking God for His strength and power. So we pray in all times. So we pray with all requests. So we pray in all situations. And we pray for all the saints. I want to leave you with one final thing. Yes, the resurrection calls us, empowers us, and it inspires us. But we need to be inspiring each other as well. We are left with the church. And the church is the one that inspires us, or that's the way it was intended to be. If you look at verse 13, it says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Well, a little bit of Greek for you. That "you" is plural. So when the day of trouble comes, Covenant Church, when the day of hardship and tension comes, Church of Sioux Center, stand your ground with one another. I heard somebody say this: you put on the armor of God, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes. You have the shield in front of you and the sword of the Word of God, but there's one place that is still left unprotected. You're back. And that's the call of the church. The call of the church is to remind each other of who our God is, so that we can protect our backs, so we can encourage one another, so we can stand firm together with one another. Reminding ourselves of who our identity is in Christ, so that we can withstand the struggles. So may you, Covenant Church, put on the armor of God and remind yourself of who you are. But may you also inspire those around you and remind them who they are as well. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you for giving us everything that we need. And Lord, even though we go through times of tension, and even though we go through times of joy and times of struggle, Lord, we give you praise and glory that you have not left us defenseless in this world. We thank you, Lord, that the power of Easter is not just someday, but it can be right now and today as we put our faith and trust in you. God, may we cling to your power. May we cling to your identity that you have given to us. And God, when we encounter those that struggle, may we be your hands and feet and your voice to them as well, inspiring and reminding them of who they are and your love for them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.